We're continuing in Likutei Halachos, Ora Chaim, Chelek Beis, Hilchos Betzias Apas, Halacha Hey, in the middle of paragraph Lamed Beis. Rav Nosson Zal says, Ki loy hamedra shoyker ala maisa, because we know that the most important thing is not just learning, but fulfilling the Torah. Val shem ze nikroim halachos, and it's for this reason that the most important, complete state of learning in Torah, which is halacha, is called halacha, lishon halicha, from the term halicha, to go, to know which direction to go in. Kemay shomer azal, as the Gemara says, al tomro halichos ela halachos, haynu shal yidei ha-halachos yizke leilech bedarchi Hashem v'lo shuvei lo visporach. This means that by a person learning a portion of Torah and understanding what Hashem wants him to do, regarding any item, the person is given a direction to know how to go in the path of Hashem, how to return to Hashem, how to come close to Hashem. Shezehu ikar shlemus esek haTorah. And that's the essence of the study of Torah. That's really called, you know, that's really the goal of the study of Torah. Shenizke al yidei halimud lishmor v'lasa yisulakayim. That a person should be zeche by studying, by learning what to do, to observe, to fulfill, k'mayshon mispalim b'chol yoyim v'sein b'libeinu bina, etc. Lilmoid ulalameid lishmar v'lasas ulakayim, as we daven every day. We ask Hashem to give us understanding. Understanding what? Understanding to understand. Understanding to further understand. Understanding to confuse people by our understanding versus their understanding. That's not the goal of learning Torah. The goal of learning Torah isn't to learn how to learn, how to learn, how to learn, how to learn, and just keep going around in circles. The goal of learning learning Torah is to learn what to do to come close to Hashem. That's not to say that learning itself isn't a mitzvah, a very important mitzvah. But again, the Torah itself says, "V'loy hamedreshu ha'ikar el hamaisa," that the emphasis has to be on what to do. And if a person is learning without that, their learning has a major hole in it. There's something wrong there. And as the Pasuk says, Seichel Toiv L'chol Oisehem, that the Torah gives wisdom and intelligence to the one who does it. And the Gemara says, L'loindehem Loinemar. It doesn't say to one who studies it, Elo L'oisehem, to one who fulfills it. And the Gemara says, this teaches us, Shaloyehe Odom Koire V'shoine U'boyet Bo V'varaboy. This comes to emphasize that a Jew shouldn't be learning and studying deeper, and then kick his father and mother. In other words, act disrespectfully, go against the direction that Hashem is setting in the Torah. You know, the mode, the ideology, what Hashem wants us to do. And it's about this that Dovid HaMelech cries out to Hashem in his Tehillim. Bame yizake nar es orchoi lishmor kidvorecho. Hainu eich zeichen lederech v'oirach, shaydeze yizke hanar hamenoyar mikol tuv, harochik me'ashem yizborah kamay sherochik, sheyizke gam hu lishmor kidvorecha. David HaMelech is asking Hashem, how am I zeiche to the derech, to the path, whereby even a nar means a fool, a nar means a child, a nar means somebody, Rav Nosson Zal says, hamenoyar mikol tuv, somebody who's deficient of everything, he's lacking in every way, what we call a lackey. How is somebody like that zoche to do what Hashem wants him to do, to fulfill the rotzon of Hashem? Umachmas shedovid hoya misyage al ze kol yomov. And because of the fact that Dovid HaMelech worked at this his whole life, he understood exactly what Hashem expects from a Jew and what Hashem wants and what the finished product is. Al kein zocho be'emes limtsoi mokoim abeis hamikdosh lahamid ho'orein al mekoimoy mechoinoy. That's why Dovid HaMelech was the one who had the privilege, number one, of locating the site of the Beis HaMikdash. That was his first, that was, you know, one of his incredible successes, that he was the one who identified and purchased the site. And number two, it was only in his zechus, as Rav Nosson Zal mentioned in the previous shiur that we had, that the doors, the gates opened up to allow the Aron Kodesh to enter. In the Beis HaMikdash, the holiest item in the entire Beis HaMikdash was the Kodesh HaKodoshim, the Holy of Holies. What made that so holy was the fact that it had the Aron in it. And the Gemara says that when Shlomo HaMelech had completed building the Beis HaMikdash, and the grand finale, which was to bring the Arayin into the Holy of Holies, the doors were shut and wouldn't open. And the Gemara says he tried everything. He tried every tefillah in the world. It didn't help him. It wasn't until he said, Hashem, remember the Chasdei David. Remember the Zchus of David HaMelech? The doors opened up and allowed the Arayin in, showing that it was David HaMelech's Zchus that was gonna make that turnkey in the Beis HaMikdash. Why? Which means so that the Aron would not be wandering anymore from place to place. So that the light of the Torah would start glowing in the world from its place, from its proper place, you know, from its source. So that the light of the Torah should reach each and every single Jew exactly in the way it has to all over the world. So that was what David HaMelech accomplished. Why? Because David HaMelech was one of those super Jews who was zeiche to know, to respect the Torah, to understand what the main objective is in learning Torah, and he went after that his whole life. That's why Hashem gave him the privilege that he was the one, in his merit, the Torah came to its proper, to its ultimate position, from which it could light up the entire world, and light up each and every single Jew. However, unfortunately, due to our sins, despite the fact that David HaMelech worked so hard to help the Jewish nefoshos, ufoal v'gomar harbe ma'oid, and he accomplished a tremendous amount, ki motza mekoyim habeis hamikdash lahamet shem ha'orayim, he discovered the site of the Beis HaMikdash where the Aron would be put, shaloi nizgale ad yomov, which had not been revealed to the world until David HaMelech's times, afal pikein adayin hisgara habaldover b'Yisrael. Despite that, the Yetzirah still succeeded in attacking the Jews, ad shehechtiyom achar kach, ad shenechra beis hamikdash, to the point where the Yetzirah succeeded in leading the Jews into sin and causing us to lose the privilege of having the Beis HaMikdash. Ki ze tzrichen lo das, because this is an extremely important item that we must know. She'af al pi shehatzadikim agdoilim oisim tikunim nifloim b'chol dor v'dor, even though the great tzadikim have major, major accomplishments in every single generation, bifrat bechirei tzadikaya kamoi David ukiyotze, especially if we're talking about the choicest of tzadikim, like David HaMelech and his likes, she'osu ma she'osu l'toivas takonos nashos Yisrael, who did what they did and accomplished what they accomplished for the benefit of perfecting the Jewish souls, ufo'alu v'gomru harbe ma'oid, and they accomplished and completed a great deal, afal pikein habaldovor einoy maniach es mekoymoy. You need to know that the Yetzirah is not yet throwing in the towel. He's not ready to give up. Umizgare beYisrael bechol pam yoiser. And each and every single time that he suffers defeat, he comes right back trying harder. V'choter harbe moed, and he digs and he pursues. He's very persistent. Lekalkel kol atikunim shel tzadikim, to try to undermine and undo the successes of the tzadikim. Aval afal pishom lekalkel harbe moed, and even though the Yetzirah succeeds and he does destroy tremendous amount, afal pikein ato moroim lo'olam Hashem, still, the Torah testifies that Hashem is very exalted, and Hashem always comes out on top. That's how Rashi interprets this pasuk. Va'ato morim lo'olam Hashem. Rashi says, lo'olam yodcho al helyona. Hashem, the good always has to win out. Eventually, when we get to the completion of a cycle, the good has to be on top. If you remember this game that you played as kids, you know, one puts their hand on top, another hand, and it's all, who's going to get their hand on top? The good is always going to have to come out on top. That's the message in this pasuk. Va'ato morim lo'olam Hashem, and that's why the Breslover, when they daven Friday night, when they say Mizmor Shilem HaShabbos, this pasuk has tremendous, tremendous meaning. Because Mizmor Shilem HaShabbos was actually said by Adam HaRishon. The Medrash tells the whole story, that after Adam ate from the Eitz HaDa'as, and after Cain killed Hevel, And Cain met with his father, Adam, and he said to him, what happened with your judgment? He knew that his father was going on trial for the future of mankind. And Hashem revealed to him that there's tshuva, that there is tshuva even for what Adam HaRishon did. So, Cain told Adam HaRishon that for his sin of murdering Heva, which means he destroyed half the world, that there's tshuva even for what he did. And at that point, the Medrash says, Adam HaRishon said, Mizmor Shir L'Yoyim HaShabbos, where that chapter speaks in hints, in secret, about the concept of tshuva. It alludes to the Tikkun HaKloli, Alei Osor V'Alei Novel Alei Yoyim B'Chinor. And in that chapter, it has these awesome words, V'ato Moroim Lo'olam Hashem, that you, Hashem, always come out on top, meaning the good always has to succeed eventually. Even though battles are lost, the one who wins the war has to be Hashem. It has to be the side of good. Ki gedoylei hatzadikim misaknim tikunim nifloim koele, because the great tzadikim affect such great tikkunim, so that even though the Yetzirah succeeds afterwards in messing things up, the Yetzirah never succeeds in wiping out completely the work of the tzaddik. Something is always left there. There's always something left to rebuild with and to reinstate. So that eventually the tzaddik will complete what he started. And therefore, even though the Yetzirah did everything he could to succeed in destroying the Beis Hamikdash twice, Afal Pikain, Mekoim Habeis Hamikdosh, Shehu Mekoim Ha'orin Shemotza David, Nishar Kaim Lo'ad. What David HaMelech accomplished has never been destroyed. The Yetzirah succeeded in taking down the building. The building was taken down twice. The site was not destroyed. And the site retained its holiness and retained its awesome power to Bnei Yisrael. The Gemara says that even though the Beis Mikdash was destroyed, lo yizozo shechina mikoysa maravi. The Shechina is there, that site is there, the holiness is there, and it's going to be rebuilt. Lahavdol is this story they tell about Napoleon, that Napoleon was once traveling with his soldiers on Tisha B'Av, and he went by a shul and he heard a very strange type of tune coming from a synagogue, which he was familiar with synagogues, but this was something very different. So he said to one of his soldiers, go inside and find out what they're doing in there. So the soldier inquired, and he was told that we're mourning the destruction of our temple, which was destroyed 1,500, 2,000 years ago, whenever it was at that time. Napoleon heard this, and he said, if that's what they're doing, then you can bet that temple is going to be rebuilt. If the 2,000 years they haven't forgotten it, they're still mourning, they get together every single year to remember it, then you can be sure that's not gone. It's just not, it's temporarily out of order, but it'll definitely be reinstated. Because what Dovid HaMelech achieved is indestructible. It can't be destroyed. As the Pasuk says, Lomo teratzdun horim gavnunim, hohor chomad alikim l'shiftoi, af Hashem yishkoin lo netzach. Why are you other mountains trying to dance and there's a mountain which Hashem has chosen to place, to rest upon. And af Hashem yishkoin lo netzach, and Hashem will reside there permanently, eternally. Hashem ain't leaving there for nothing, no matter what kind of destruction takes place. Ki miyoyim sheshorsa shechina beveis hamikdosh, lo yishorsa b'mokoyim achar. Because from the time that Hashem established his resting place in the Beis Hamikdosh, Hashem has not moved it from there to any other place. Hashem has never relocated. Kemo Shadosh Razal, as our rabbis teach us in the Gemara. Paragraph Lamed Gimel, V'alkein, and therefore, B'shul Shebike Shloimoi Lahachnis Ha'orin, Dovku Shorim. At that time, when Shlomo HaMelech was hoping to put on the whipped cream and the cherry on top of this whole performance, the whole building of the Beis HaMikdash, which was to move in the Holy Ark, the doors sealed themselves shut. Rav Nosson Zal says this seems to be incredibly difficult to understand. Moro al kocha ashorim lizgaratzmon v'levli laniach horin lichno islamag al makoimoy. Why did they do this? What was the message in that? What was Hashem trying to prove? And what were these doors trying to prove by not allowing the Aron to be moved in? The kama yegiyos yogu David u'shloimoy v'chol Yisroel at shegamru binya beis hamikdash. Remember, how hard did King David and Shlomo HaMelech struggle and work and build, and Jews worked day and night to get that building up. And now after all of this work has been done, they're not allowing the Holy Ark to come in? What's this all about? What crime was committed here? What message is here? Achashorim, Rav Nosson Zal explain, and here again, people learn this Gemara, and they learn it, and they go further. Rav Nosson Zal, this is one of thousands of examples in Likutei Halachos where Rav Nosson Zal asks such an obvious question, such a difficult question, and his answers are always better than the questions. The Rishpanim that write that one of the reasons why a Jew is supposed to avoid learning philosophy is because, unfortunately, many of the Sforim that are written philosophy, the questions are much better than the answers. Said when a person studies these Sforim, the questions go in very, very well. The answers, so kacha kacha. And very often the person's left with the question, Rachmona Litzlan. Whereas here, watch how he answers this question. Rav Nosson Zal explains, Achashorim ro'u shelo yiskayim habinyan. These doors had a holiness to them. They saw, they knew that this building is not going to remain up permanently. Ki osid lechorev pamayim. This building is going to be destroyed twice. Al kein choshvu she'en ze kavod la'orin she'ichno es labeis hamikdash. V'achar kach yechorev. Therefore, they felt that it was an insult to Hashem, and it was a disrespect to this holy ark to move it into a place that was going to be junked, that was going to be destroyed, right? Doesn't make any sense. If you're talking about something that's permanent, that's solid, fine, then it's a kavod to move into there. But if we know that this is a shaky thing, and we know it's definitely going to be taken down, maybe the Aron does not belong in there. Maybe the kavod is not to move it into there. Al kein dovku atzman v'leirotz lachnisoy. Therefore, they seal themselves shut, and they refused to allow Shlomo HaMelech to bring the Aron in. What do you mean? These doors had brains? The answer is, of course. That's one of the yisoidos in all these Sforim HaKadoshim, that every level of creation, domain, tzomea, chai, medaber, all of them know Hashem on their level. And all of them are there to fulfill the rotzon of Hashem. And when they perceive that they're being asked to do something different than the rotzon of Hashem, they take issue with it. We just had Shvi Shel Pesach. The Hashem said, I'm leading the Jewish people through the ocean. The Sar Shel Yam said, what are you talking about? You put me in this, you programmed me to flow a certain way from the beginning of creation. I'm supposed to go against my nature to let the Jews pass through and drown the Egyptians. Says who? Why? What? So the ocean has a spokesman, and these doors had a spokesman. All of these levels of creation are in a position to try to want to fulfill the rotzon of Hashem. Because if we know, if we realize that this building is going to be destroyed and the Aron is not going to have a place here, why move it in? And all the tefillos and songs that Shlomo HaMelech, praises of Hashem, that Shlomo HaMelech tried to sing, nothing helped. Ad she'omar zochro lechasdei dovid avdecha. Until he said those famous words, remember the goodness of my father, Dovid HaMelech. Hainu shehizkir koyach uzchuz Dovid HaMelech. Shekvar meis v'nistalik. He remembered, he spoke of the merit of Dovid HaMelech, who had already passed away, who is dead at this time. Avlaf al pikein hatikun shelo yef shelakalkel lanetzach. And despite the fact that Dovid HaMelech was not physically alive at the time, the tikkunim that he had done in the world were very much alive. The Gemara says, like we said in the beginning of the paragraph before, Gedolim tzadikim b'misosam yosem b'chayim. A tzadik is more alive after he dies than during his lifetime. He's more active. The things that he accomplished that he left behind many times become even greater than it was during his lifetime. Ki ikar hatikun shel David humashemotzo hamokoim shel abeis hamikdash. Because one of the greatest accomplishments of David HaMelech HaMelech was that he was the one who discovered the site of the Beis HaMikdash. V'ze yef shelekalkel b'shum oifen. And that is indestructible. That can never and will never change. Ki b'shloima ha-binyin shebona shloimoi. Because the building which his son Shlomo HaMelech built, that was able to be destroyed. As we find in later years, as a result of this, our sins, the buildings were taken down. However, the site, that can't be destroyed. And therefore, since the tikkun which David HaMelech established is indestructible, soif kol soif yigmar David shehu Moshiach es sheloi veyachzir kol Yisrael lemutov al yidei koyach haTorah shoisek lahamshich lo yirahoros kol nafshes Yisrael shebetor kanal. Eventually, in the end, David HaMelech will complete what he started. David HaMelech, who symbolizes Moshiach, he is the one who will return all the Jews, who will get all the Jews to come back to Hashem through the Torah that he teaches, which is a level of Torah which turns on each and every Jewish soul, where he connects the letters of the Torah to each and every single Jewish nefesh that's plugged into it. Which is only able to be done as a result of the Aron being in its place in the Beis HaMikdash, even if it's only temporary, even if it's only for 800 years, you know, for the period of time that the two Beis HaMikdashes were standing. Because despite the fact that it's going to be destroyed, however, since the Oroin did stand in the Beis HaMikdash for that period of time, Nishar Ha'ora Bekvius, its light remains there permanently. Lahavdil, it's like when you pour oil into a bottle and you empty the bottle completely, you can't empty it. There's always some oil that remains. The nature of oil is that even you empty the bottle, it clings to the bottle inside, unless you wash and scrub, you know. But I'm saying the fact that you turn the bottle over completely and let it all drip out, nonsense. There's still a residue there that remains. And lahavdil, oil symbolizes sechel, oil symbolizes kedusha many times, shemen mishchas kodesh. That even when the kedusha seems to have been wiped out, the Rishimu always remains. This is a very important point that's mentioned throughout Sifrei Kabbalah, Sifrei Chassidus. V'yesh koyach letzadiki ador gamato lahamshich ha'ora misham al kol echad miYisrael ad sheyachzeru lamutov. So that the tzadikim of each and every single generation have the ability to draw from that site, even though the Beis HaMikdash is not there, they have the ability to draw from that site a holiness, a light, which they're able to shine into each and every single Jew, and thereby bring him back, bring him close to Hashem. V'alkein, takev kishezochar zochro lechazdei dover avdecho. And that's why when Shlomo HaMelech said those special words, remember the chazdei David, miyad neno, immediately, there was a response, v'niftuchu ashorim, the gates opened up, v'nichnas oron al mekoymo mechoynoi, and the oron was brought in to its proper place, it was instated in its proper place, ki hevinu, because the doors understood, shetikun shel David, sheyoga batoira kol kach, lo'erer sharoshe nishmois Yisroel, that the tikun which David HaMelech had accomplished, those that weren't here for the previous shiurim, in earlier parts of this halacha, he discussed very much the concept of the study of Torah in its fullest sense, which means to be able to make the connection between the 600,000 letters of the Torah and the 600,000 neshamos of the Jews. That when a tzaddik studies Torah, he studies it with a purity and a sincerity, whereby he turns on those 600,000 light bulbs in the Torah itself, and thereby turns on the light bulbs in each and every single Jewish nefesh. He's the one who has the ability to make the exact connections between the letters of the Torah and the Jewish nefoshos, and to shine into each and every single Jewish nefesh its personal customized connection to the Torah. And that's what really turns a person on. That's what really gives a... No, so you take a person, you give him a shiur, you teach him something interesting, something nice, something what? All cute and dandy. But it doesn't necessarily change that person. It doesn't necessarily give that person the 6 million volts that he needs to make a major turn in his life, to turn around and change in a major, major way in his life. The tzaddikim, the true tzaddikim, are the ones who have this deep connection to the Torah, where for them it's not just a learning experience, it's a spiritual, they connect to the spirituality, the ruchnius of the Torah, and to the nefoshis. They have the ability to connect a Jewish nefesh to its source within the Torah, to its mokar, its exact precise wire, how it's wired into the Torah, and make that connection. And therefore, when you do that, the thing, lahavdil, it's like you have an appliance or something, and you try all kinds of alternative ways of turning the appliance on other than its most proper way. And sometimes you get a little noise out of them, all kinds of little things start happening. Then suddenly you put the thing in its proper plug, and the thing lights up, and it's going like... And you can't imagine. Look at it. We were doing everything, and nothing helped. And suddenly, you move the plug exactly to where it was supposed to go, and the thing works like magic. Lahavdil, that's exactly the ability that tzaddikim have in their esek haTorah. That when they're learning Torah with people, or even by themselves, when a tzaddik is learning Torah the right way, lishmar v'lasa is the way we spoke about earlier. He knows and he believes, and he has the ability to connect the wires from the 600,000 letters of the Torah to the 600,000 neshamos. They understood that the tikkun of Dovra Melech, sheyoga batoyra kol kach, lo'er shorosh nishmos Yisrael, where Dovra Melech struggled so hard in his study of Torah to inspire the sources, to turn on the sources of the neshamos of Yisrael, because the Gemara says in one place, that Dovra Melech asked Hashem to be able to know when he's going to pass away. Hashem said, impossible, can't reveal that to anybody. Hashem said, so Dovra Melech said, okay, at least tell me what day. He said, Shabbos. Hashem said, on Shabbos. He said, Hashem, can't you do better than that? If there's any day I don't want to pass away, if I'm going to pass away on Shabbos, maybe there'll be Chilul Shabbat, as you know. So he said, Hashem, maybe we can postpone it to Sunday. Impossible. There's a rule that a king, whenever the new kingdom is supposed to begin, it can't be delayed a fraction of a second, which means there's a time when the next king has to start up, and there's no way to delay. So Dovra Melech said, Hashem, I'll make you a deal. I'll make you a deal. Friday. How about Friday? Hashem said, no deal. You know why? Because even though your son Shlomo HaMelech is going to bring 1,000 sacrifices a day in the Beis HaMikdash, Hashem said, one day of your study of Torah is more precious to me than the 1,000 sacrifices that he's going to bring. So the Gemara is obviously making a point that Dovid HaMelech's study of Torah was something unique. That was real Esek HaTorah. That was this kind of Esek HaTorah of Tzadikim, where they activate, they are Ma'ira, the Sharoshe Neshamos Yisrael through their study of Torah. That tikkun cannot be destroyed ever. And therefore, the ark allowed itself to be brought in, so that it should be instated in the place that's designated for it eternally. That's its eternal place. So that once it was put there, and it was screwed in properly, and it stayed there for that period of time, the light that emanates from there is permanent. It's eternal. Exactly. Because once it was put in properly that first time, even though the building was taken down, that light shines forth all the time, and the imprint of it, the Rishimu, remains eternally. Because the place of the Aron is established forever, eternally. The Aron was removed from there. The building was taken down. The site was permanently established, and nobody can or will ever, ever, ever be able to change that. V'zehu zochro lechazdei David. And this is why the Gemara says, Shlomo HaMelech said these words, remember the chesed of David. Chazdei David daiko, b'chinas chazdei David ha-ne'emonim, shehem b'chinas ha-halochis, b'chinas toiras chesed hanal. Rav Nosson Zal is going back to something Rabbi Nachman said in Likut Emran, where Rabbi Nachman said that there's two types of Torah. The Gemara says this. The Gemara says this in Sukkah and in other places. There's a pasuk in Eishes Chayil where we say, v'toras chesed al-shoina. So the Gemara asks, what do you mean? There's a Torah's chesed and there's a Torah she'eno shel chesed? So the Gemara says, yes, most definitely. There are some people who study Torah for themselves. That's called Torah she'eno shel chesed. There's a person who studies Torah where his main intent in his study of Torah is to shine into others. L'lamdo l'acherin, that's called Torah's chesed. Haloimed almanas l'lamdo. And the tzadikim, a tzadik, a true tzadik, even if he's learning in his kitchen, in his living room, his learning is with his, he's not just learning for himself. He's looking at the letters, and he knows that those letters are nefashos, are Jewish neshamos, and when he's learning the Torah, he's doing it in a way he's screwing in light bulbs. Each time he mentions a letter, he's plugging that letter into the Jewish nefesh that's tied into it. And he's activating, he's turning on a light, which will reach that person where in Australia, wherever the person is. A tzaddik has the ability. Once upon a time you would have said this, people would have cracked up. Today there's this telephone, right? Where's the wire? What do you mean? You're talking to somebody in America? What are you, nuts? You're 5,000? No, where's the impact? There's no such thing. There is such a thing. There is such a thing as wireless. No wire at all, exactly. Holding a piece of plastic in your hand, talking into it, and somebody 6,000 miles away is hearing every word you're saying and being affected by it. Conducting business, all kinds of things. Lahavdil, in Kedusha, the tzaddik is saying his divrei Torah wherever he is, and he has the ability that the wires, the wireless or wires, are reaching out to the exact nefoshas that are plugged into those words or letters, and they're being affected. Suddenly a person is inspired or woken up. He doesn't know what hit him. He doesn't know where it's coming from sometimes. The Gemara says over there in Sukkah that that's the difference between Dovra Melech and Shol HaMelech. They were both tzaddikim, but the Gemara says that Dovra Melech was zeichet to halacha kamoisoi, that the law was always like him. Why? Because the Gemara says Dovra Melech's Torah was a Torah's chesed. He was the one who reached out. He was the one who was looking to reach out to others. So you see the connection between halacha. The Gemara says again, that's why he was zeichet to the halacha brura. He was the one that his halacha was b'shlemus. Why? Because his Torah was Torah's chesed. His Torah was the ultimate type of Torah, a Torah which is not just for oneself, but a Torah where he understands the connection between the Torah and all of Klal Yisrael. It's not that I'm a rabbi, I'm a tzaddik, and I'm learning Torah, and it's mine, and those other Jews have no part of it, the non-religious, or the this one, or the that. On the contrary, a true tzaddik sees in each one of the letters in the Torah, he sees its connection to every single Jewish nefesh. Some of them are covered with mud, some of them have all kinds, but he sees the wires. He sees exactly where those wires are extending out, and he knows the connection, and he's able to activate it. This is what gave Dovra Melech the schus, that he discovered the site of the Oroin, because he had the ultimate connection to the Torah. That's what gave him the schus, that he was able to put the generator in place, you know, the generator for the world, which is the Oroin itself. He had the schus of discovering the site for it, and in his name it was put into place, because his study of Torah was the type of Torah that Hashem is looking for the Oroin to broadcast worldwide, you know, that kind of thing. Picture people learning this 200 years ago, and it's all, it sounds strange. You have an Oran, it's in the Middle East somewhere, in a room, and it's broadcasting to, what kind of nonsense? Suddenly today it's not nonsense anymore. Today Hashem has given us technology and things, because our brains are so tiny and our emunah is so tiny, that Hashem is putting all of these things in the world where, to a degree, a person doesn't have to believe anymore. Once upon a time you told a person that a person says something in this room and he affects something 100 miles away, a person would say, how? It's a, you know. Today we know a person has a fax machine, take a piece of paper, you press two or three buttons, the paper goes through, and you tell a person, somebody across the world has this person would say, you're nuts. There's no, it's ridiculous. It's not ridiculous. So today we know that there is this concept of broadcasting worldwide, you know, simultaneous, instantaneous, real-time, all of this stuff is very, very real. Paragraph Lamed Daled. Rav Nosson Zal says, V'zehu oyev Hashem shari tzion mikol mishkan ois Yaakov. This is what's meant by the Pasuk. The Pasuk says that Hashem loves the gates of Tzion more than he loves all the residences of Yaakov. That's the literal translation. V'dor Shrazal, and the Gemara in Brachos says on that pasuk, Oyhev Hashem Sheorim Hametzuyonim Bahalocha Mikol Boteichneisios Ubotemidroshois. Hashem loves the gates that are engraved with halacha more than he loves all the synagogues and all the places of learning. V'hadovar tamua l'chayra. This seems to be a strange statement. V'haloi b'chol ha'bote medroshois oiskim b'halochois. Isn't that what they're doing in bote medroshois? Beis medrash means a place of learning. Isn't that what they're learning in a beis medrash, halacha? How does the Gemara interpret the pasuk to mean Hashem loves the gates that are marked with halacha better than he loves all synagogues and places of learning? Achoinyanu al pianal. However, Rav Nosson Zal says this is tied into what we said before. Ki ikar hashleimus kisho iskin batoira ad sheyecholim lo'oirer shoroshei nishmois Yisrael lahachzir lamutav. The main shleimus is when Torah is being studied in such a way where it's able to activate the source of the neshamas of the Jews and thereby get Jews to do tshuva. We had mentioned this last time, we're referring to this again. This is a statement that Rabbeinu Zal makes in Likutei Moran, where Rabbeinu Zal says in chapter Yud Dalet in Likutei Moran, I'm going to read a little bit just from paragraphs Gimel and Dalet, because this has been a theme throughout the whole thing. Rabbeinu Zal says over there that it's impossible to be Mekarev people without the Torah. You must have Torah to be Mekabel people, to be Mekarev people. And then Rabbeinu Zal says, the type of Torah that's needed is al yidei haTorah shemeirin lahem el mokim shehim sham. You have to be able to shine the light of the Torah to the place where that person is, whether it be a Baal Tshuva or a Ger. You have to be able to reach him. Now, reach him means one of two things. Reach him in the place where he's at, whatever low level he's at, or however distant he is from Hashem. But here, Rabbeinu Zal says differently. Rabbeinu Zal says that the Torah is 600,000 letters corresponding to the 600,000 neshamos. V'yesh l'chol ha'neshamos shoresh l'malo b'machshava d'kut shebrichu. Every single neshama has a source within the machshava of Hashem. Because when Hashem first thought of creating the world, his reason for creating the world was for the Jewish neshamos. So all the Jewish neshamos were and are in the machshava of Hashem. Lahavdil, there's a concept of a wire that leads from each and every single individual Jew leading into the machshava of Hashem, kaviyochel. Because there's a pasuk that says, Yisrael olu b'machshava tchila, that the Jews were in the original machshava of Hashem. And Rabbeinu Zal mentions also vayidei zivug haneshamos nivroim neshamos geirim, and through certain interaction between those neshamos, geirim are created. Therefore, Rabbeinu Zal goes on to say, when a person is zoche to study Torah in such a way that whereby his using and mentioning the letters of the Torah, the interaction between the letters of the Torah, he activates the neshamos that are plugged into those letters and gets them to shine into each other, gets them to sparkle, you know, to start doing things. That's how you're makarev people. And that's what creates the neshamos of Geirim. Then in the next paragraph, Rabbeinu Zal says that that the way a Talmud Chacham succeeds is the Talmud Chacham has a responsibility, levorech ulahoir belimud toirosoi b'shoiresh haneshamos. He has to see to it through his study of Torah to shine into and to be mamshichei bracha into the source of the neshamos, haynu b'machshava tchila, which is again the kaviyocha, the machshava of Hashem, kisham shorosheinu, because that's the shoiresh of all the neshamos. The shoresh of all the neshamos is in the machshava tchilas hamachshava of Hashem. Nimtza kishemevi he'ora ubroch l'toich tchilas hamachshava, when a tzaddik or a talmud chacham, the real kind of talmud chacham, when through his study of Torah he brings a hisnoitzus, a sparkle, and a bracha into the tchilas hamachshava of Hashem, through that the neshamos sparkle and shine, and they receive a bracha. And that's how people who are far from Hashem are zeich to come close to Hashem. We're talking about a type of study of Torah that connects to the Tchilas HaMachshav of Hashem. Ki ikar hashleimus ki shoyiskim b'Torah ad sheichoylin lo'oyrer sharosh nishmas Yisrael azir lamutov. Because the main shleimus is when a person's studying Torah in this way, where he studies Torah in a way that he turns on, he activates the foundation, the source of the Jewish neshamos, and thereby is able to bring Jews to Hashem, to come close to Hashem. She'elu ha-tzadikim oisim she'orim chadoshim. These tzadikim who study Torah this way, they make new gates, new gateways. U'poishim kol ha-shorim she'mikvar, and they open up all the old doors. L'hizkar v'al yodam Hashem Yisborach, to come close to Hashem, u'lahakir ois Yisborach, and to get to know Hashem, to recognize Hashem. Their study of Torah is in such a way where they open doors for people who need to have doors open for them to come close to Hashem. V'zehu b'chinas she'orim ha-metzuyonim b'halocha. This is the term that the Pasuk uses, gates that are marked or that are engraved with halocha. Sha'al yidei hilchos ha-Torah nasim tziyunim v'simonim l'hakir ha-shorim. When a tzaddik or a Talmud Chacham, the right kind of Talmud Chacham, studies Torah properly, his study of Torah makes markers for which those people that are lost and they need to find doors, where to come back, they need to find entrances of where to come back, they mark the entrances. Ki ha-she'orim nasu al yodom kanal. Because the entrances are actually made through this tzaddik's study of Torah. His study of Torah actually creates the entrances. V'alkein ha-halochos himetzuyonim ba-shorim. And that's why these halochos are engraved, inscribed on these entrances. Ki al yodom nasu. Because the entrances themselves were lahavdol. You know, a person who donates a door, they put his name on the door because he's the one who gave the door. So too here, the limud ha-Torah of the Talmud Chacham, the tzaddik, which made the door, that's this halacha that's mitzuyan bashar. V'ze b'chinas shorim ha-mitzuyonim b'halacha sh'akadosh baruch hu oyavam yoyser mikol botech nesis ubotech midrashois. And this is what the Gemara means when the Gemara says Hashem loves these entrances that are marked with halacha better than all other synagogues and all other places of learning. Meaning, ki loy ha-medrash yikra el ha-maisa. As we said before, Hashem is much more interested in the actions of people, in people doing the right thing, than people just learning theoretically, where the learning isn't geared towards actual practical application of the Torah. Hashem enjoys much more the type of learning that leads to good actions. A person who has the ability through his study of Torah to create ways, paths, to create entrance ways for those people who want to come close to Hashem to be able to come close to Hashem. A trailblazer, like a person who mamish his study of Torah, he blazes a trail for people to come close to Hashem. Shezeo bechinas sharia beis hamikdosh. This is the concept of the gates of the beis hamikdosh. Shederech shom hoyum akirnos yisborach. Through those gates, a person who entered through those gates and came into the Beis HaMikdosh was able to get to understand Hashem, get to see Hashem, kav yochel. Ki ha-Beis HaMikdosh u-bechinas ha-das, lo das oisi yisborach. Because the Beis HaMikdosh is a center of das, a place of coming to understand Hashem. The Gemara says in one place in Brochas, a very famous Gemara, Rabbeinu Zal quotes it a lot, that whoever has das, it's as if the Beis HaMikdash were built in his time. And the Gemara proves it from Psukim. There's one pasuk that says, Ki Kel Deyois Hashem. The word Das is written between Kel and Yud Kei Vav Kei, between two names of Hashem. And there's another pasuk that says, Mochin l'shivtecho po'alto Hashem, Mikdosh Hashem. The word Mikdosh is written between two names of Hashem. So the Gemara says this comes to teach us that the Beis HaMikdosh is a place of Das. So Rav Nosson Zal says here, the gates of the Beis HaMikdosh symbolize the gates to Das. She'efsher lo das mimenu yisbora kimayde kamo she'orim upsochim nifloim she'oisim atzadikim. It's impossible for a person to get to understand Hashem and to get to come close to Hashem properly other than through the gates and entrances that are created by the tzadikim. Bebechinas, as the posuk says, se'u she'orim roshechem v'hinosu pischei olam v'yovoi melech hakovoi. This posuk is referring to the gates opening wide and allowing the king to enter through them. Dahainu bechinas ha'she'orim ha'psochim she'nasim b'da'as ha'odom. Here we're talking about the gates and entrances into the human mind. She'derech shom nichnas melech hakovoid. Ki derech shom nichnas boi ha'sogas v'idiyas elikus yisborach. Because it's through there that the understanding of Hashem enters into the person. Through where? Through these entranceways that the tzaddikim create through their study of Torah. They create these shiorim hametzuyonim b'halacha. Paragraph Lamed Hey. Rav Nosson Zal says, v'zeh shomru sham b'brochas, and this is why the Gemara says right there, in the same page, Daf Ches, where this Gemara is quoted that we just said, the Gemara says in addition, Hainu doma Rabbi Chiya Barami, and this is why this is also what Rabbi Chiya Barami said, miyoyim shechorav beis hamikdosh, ein loy lakodesh baruch hu boilomo, yela arba amoy shalalucha bilvad. From the time that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, the only thing Hashem really has is the four cubits of halacha. Hainu, sheyizke ho'odom al yidei ha'halacha leiloch boi arba amois al kolponim. This means that a person, by learning the proper path, the proper halacha, the person will know at least how to go four cubits. Shezehu shir mekoymoy shelodom. That's considered to be the place of a person. Ki kolodom yeshloy arba moishim nimshoch me'arba ayisos havaya. Because each and every person is given an area of four cubits. That's called his place. And those four cubits draw from the four letters of Hashem's name, Yud Kei Vav Kei. Hainu shekol odom b'chol mokim shehu yesh loy b'chinas arba amois l'skavro l'ashem yisporach. This means that there's no such thing as a person who doesn't have a place. I have no place. I'm nowhere. Nobody is nowhere. According to the Torah, even if you're in the street, you're out in the street, a person says, I have no apartment, I have nothing, I'm in the street. Even in the street, technically, according to halacha, a person has four amois, four cubits that are his. Four cubits means the four letters of Hashem's name. There's a place, he's plugged into the four letters of Yud Kei Vav Kei anywhere, wherever he is. Ve'elu hu arba amois zoichen al yidei ha'halochos. And the way that a person is zoichen to get to know that, to realize that wherever he is, he has the ability to plug into Hashem, is through the halachos, al yedei koyach hatzadikim shoyskim b'Torah bebchinas hanal, through the type of study of Torah which the tzadikim do, who study on the level that we spoke about earlier, where when they study, their goal is lahamshich ha'oras haneshama mishorosh shebatorah. Their goal is to draw a light into the neshamos of all the Jewish people from their source in the Torah, from the wire that connects them to the Torah. The wire that connects them to the Torah, and the wire that connects them to the Tchilas HaMachshov of Hashem, which are both the same concept. Sheze na'aseh be'Beis HaMikdosh b'yoser, and this was accomplished best in the Beis HaMikdosh. The Beis HaMikdosh was the place where this connection could be made on the highest level. The ability for tzaddikim to plug the 600,000 neshamos of the Jewish people into the 600,000 letters of the Torah, into the Tchilas HaMachshov of Hashem. V'yachshav, and now, miyoyim shechorav Beis HaMikdosh, from the time that the Beis HaMikdosh was destroyed, ein loy lakodesh baruch hu boilomoy, ela elu arba amoy shel halocha. Hainu, mi shezoich al yidei hilchois ha-Torah, lebechinas arba amoy sanal, a person who is zoicha by studying Torah the right way, he's zoicha to come to the realization that he has these dalet amoys. Hainu, limtzoy loy mokoyim, bechol mokoyim shehu. This means that wherever I am, whether I'm in my house, whether I'm in the streets, in the gutter, I have these four amos, meaning I have a way to connect, I have a place which can connect me to the four letters of Hashem's name. I have the ability to receive light from the Torah, whereby the person receives a thorough understanding that wherever he is, he has the ability to connect to Hashem. Wherever he is, there's a place and an advice which can connect him to Hashem. V'zeh yokor mo'oid b'enav yisborach. That type of limud, giving that knowledge to people, giving that awareness to people, that's very precious to Hashem. Giving the people, equipping people with the realization that wherever they are, they have the ability to plug into Hashem. That knowledge, such a level of understanding of Hashem and Yiddishkeit and the Torah and the Jewish people, that gives a person this awareness that wherever I am, I have these Dalet Amos, this Dalet Amos Shel Halacha, a Limud HaTorah that gives me a realization that I have a connection to the four letters of Hashem's name wherever I am. And this is really what Hashem possesses in this world. Because as was mentioned in the chapter in Likutei Moran that this is based on, the greatest kavod to Hashem is when people who are far from Hashem come close to Hashem. And the only way those people can come close to Hashem is by them having this awareness, this realization, that wherever they are, Hashem is there. There is this Dalet Amos. There is this Yudke Vavke that's plugged in wherever they are, and they can connect to it. And it's that type of limud, which is the limud of tzaddikim, their Torah, which gives people this type of awareness. That's what Hashem has. From the time of the Churban Beis Hamikdash, that's Hashem's most important thing in this world. Lamed Vov, V'al Kein Moshe Rabbeinu Hishtadal B'Yoser Likach Atzmos Yosef. And this is why when the Jews were leaving Mitzrayim, everybody was involved in doing important things. The Jews were doing the mitzvah of grabbing up all the gold and silver from the Egyptians, which Hashem had told them to. And Moshe Rabbeinu was involved in taking, finding and grabbing the coffin of Yosef HaTzadik and taking that out. As the pasuk says, Vayikach Moshe es atzmos Yosef imoy. Moshe Rabbeinu took with him the bones of Yosef HaTzadik. Everybody else took other things. That's what he took. K'mo shedosh razal, as the rabbis say, Chacham leiv yikach mitzvois. The person who is really smart, he took mitzvois. What was the mitzvah? The fulfilling of the instructions, the last will of Yosef HaTzadik. And it says, Ze Moshe, this refers to Moshe Rabbeinu, who took the coffin of Yosef HaTzadik. Ki Moshe klal ha-Torah. Because Moshe Rabbeinu symbolizes the entire Torah. The words Moshe Rabbeinu are Begimatria 613. And he's the one who gave us the entire Torah. V'hu ayo tzorech lahamshich horas ha-Torah v'litna l'Yisrael. His job was to draw the light of Torah and bring it into each and every single Jew. And that's why he understood that he must have Yosef HaTzadik's coffin. Ki aroinoi shel Yosef, shubchinas kever HaTzadik, shom meir heoras haTorah mishorosho kanal. Because the coffin of Yosef HaTzadik, which is comparable to the grave of a tzaddik, at the graveside of a tzaddik, is where the light of Torah shines very brightly. We mentioned this in the previous year. Rabbi Nazar, when he said this chapter in Likutei Moran, chapter 14, in the first half of Likutei Moran, which this halacha is based on, it was right after one of the great tzaddikim at that time had passed away, Reb Gedalia Milinitz, who was one of the students of the Baal Shem Tov, had just passed away. And this shir that Rabbi Nazal had given, Torah Yud Dalet in the Likutei Moran, was included a eulogy for this tzaddik. Because there's a paragraph in that Torah where Rabbi Nazal gave that shir on Shabbos Chanukah, and he mentioned that we don't say eulogies on Chanukah. So he was alluding to the fact that there's a eulogy to be said, but we can't say it because of Shabbos Chanukah. And in that chapter, he mentioned that when a great tzaddik passes away, his portion of Torah leaves with him. And that's why it's very difficult to teach Torah immediately when a tzaddik passes away. Because he goes, he leaves this tremendous gap of a tremendous quantity of Torah that he takes with him. But Reb Nosson Zal had told us a page or two earlier that this doesn't mean he takes it and it's gone, because a tzaddik's greatness is that even when he leaves the world, his light should continue to shine in this world. So that one, as when the tzaddik establishes himself in his new residence, kaviyochol, you know, in the next world, he starts beaming again. And he's beaming from where? He's beaming from his gravesite. As Rav Nosson Zal had mentioned earlier, that the whole concept by Chizkiyahu HaMelech, where they established a yeshiva at his gravesite. What kind of place is that? There's no makolets, there's no supersol. What are the way to? You usually establish a yeshiva, you want to do it where there's a big baseball field close, you know, lahavdil, a place to establish a yeshiva near the grave of Atza. Yes, he understood that that's the greatest generator of the light of Torah, that it's from his gravesite that a tzaddik beams, the type of he'oras ha-Torah that we're talking about here, a light of Torah that touches the neshamos of the people who are coming to study Torah and opens up doors for them, you know, to come close to Hashem. Ki aroinoi shel Yosef, shehu b'chinas kevra tzaddik, sho meir he'oras ha-Torah mishorosho. There the light of Torah shines from its source. And this is why the Gemara tells us that throughout, from the time that the Jews left Egypt until they came into Eretz Yisrael, there were two boxes that traveled side by side, right next to each other. The coffin of Yosef HaTzadik and the Aroin that had the Luchos in it, the Torah in it, the tablets. Shem Aroin Shel Yosef V'Aroin Hoedus Ki Zeh Tolui Bo Zeh. Because the Torah depends on the gravesite of the tzaddik. The ability to learn Torah in this way, where the Torah reaches into my neshama, crawls into my neshama, into the shoresh of my neshama, and beams light into there, to give me the ability to come close to Hashem from wherever I'm at, that type of he'oras ha-Torah needs the kever of the tzaddik. For now, Rav Nosson Zal is going to come back to the topic that he had gone off course for a bunch of pages, and now he's coming back on course. This is Hilchas Betzias HaPas, talking about bread, breaking bread. He's going to come back to that topic now. V'nachzor le'inyan sheschalnu. Let's go back to the topic that we were in beginning. V'zeh b'chinas ma'ashem razal le'inyan mehechon koshoris hamoitzi. This originated from a tangent from a discussion between King Menashe. If you recall, there was a rabbi in the Gemara who said to his students, "Tomorrow we're going to discuss our buddy Menashe." And he was referring to a Jewish king, a descendant of King David, I think, who became an idol worshipper, a terrible idol worshipper. So that night, this rabbi had a dream where this King Menashe came to him in a dream and said, "Prepare to die. How dare you refer to me as your friend? Who are you?" So the rabbi said, but I thought you were an idol worshiper." He said, "Idol worshiper, if you were living in my time, that I couldn't run fast enough to catch up to you. That's how fast you'd be worshiping idols. You'd be much..." And he said, what do you know?" And he said to him, "I bet you don't even know the halacha of where do you make a mitzi from? When you make a mitzi on bread, where are you supposed to make the mitzi from?" And Rav Nosson Zal had given us several explanations already as to why this king challenged him with that question. That what does that have to do with anything? Breaking bread. And here Rav Nosson Zal is going back to that topic. So the rabbi answered, the rabbi gave several, he attempted to answer different ways, and yeah, this King Menashe answered the question. Mehecha sheheshivoi, the rabbi responded to him, mehecha dekodim bishula, that the place where you're supposed to make the mitzi is the part of the bread that gets baked first, where the fire first affected the bread. There's in Shulchan Aruch, in the Gemara in Shulchan Aruch, there's a whole discussion about this, whether this means the part that's most well baked, or it means the part of the bread that's closest to the fire, you know, the top or the bottom, whatever it is. Now Rav Nosson Zal is going to explain this. Hainu kigam habishul voafial hoesh hubechinas birur. because we need to know that baking or cooking bread, that's also part of a refining process. Ki machmas chet odom arishin shoya ve'achilo shemachmaze noflu kol hadvorem el haklipa bifrat halechem shemachmaze tzrichin kamo yegiyos umalochos koidim shemesachnem varam alechem shiyeroi lamachil odom. Because as a result of odom arishin eating from the Eitz Hadas, which was a pegam in achilo, he messed up in eating, as because of that, everything fell into the hands of the klipos, the tuma, especially bread, which is the most important staple of food, fell into the hands of the klipos, to the point where now suddenly it requires a whole series of procedures in order for bread to be able to be made and be edible. And it's for this reason that cooking and baking is required. It's impossible to eat wheat or grain, you know, properly as bread without first cooking it and baking it. Because by putting the wheat, the flour, the dough, through this process of putting fire on it, by doing that, we cleanse it and we burn away the tumah that's attached to bread prior to baking it. That's why if a person takes dough and tries to eat it, they're going to get a very, very serious stomach ache. Why? Because again, beruchnius on a spiritual level and on a physical level, it's not ready to be eaten. It's in a state where if you eat it that way, it'll harm you physically and spiritually. Because it has to go through this mikvah. It has to go through this purification, this mikvah of fire, putting it in the oven. Ki ho'afio v'habishol bo'eish hu tikun u'birur ha'lechem v'amaychol me'aklipo v'hora ha'neches bo'i. Because baking the bread is a tikun, it's a refinement of the bread, of the food, to remove the klipa and the bad that's attached to it. Shenisraf and esbatel alidoeish, which gets burned and destroyed through fire. Ki me'o'eish yotzu v'o'eish toichlem. Because Rabbeinu Zalman Likutamaran brings a pasuk. When a person commits sins, sins are generally evoked through fire, the fire of the Yetzirah, the passion of the Yetzirah. So just like sins are instigated through fire, the way a person is cleansed from sin is through fire. The word Yitzra, the Yetzirah is called Yitzra Bisha in the Zohar Kodesh. Yitzra is bigimatria fire. It's an angel of fire. And the main tikkun for being able to remove ra, for being able to remove klipos, is through fire. Is through the Torah, which is called fire. As the pasuk says, haloi koidvorai koesh no mashem. The pasuk says, my words are like fire. Ukepatish yefoitzei sel, like a hammer that smashes a rock. Ki igra tikkun nasa al yedei kol habirurim shel hatfuah v'alechem shem kol hamalachos she'asim hatfuah v'alechem igra tikkun nasa al yedei ha'torah. Because the main tikkun and refinement of grains and bread, which means all of those physical procedures that we do, planting and harvesting and wind shuffling and grinding and mixing and bake, all of that, igra tikkun nasa al yedei ha'torah. The main tikkun on a spiritual level is through Torah. Shehem kol ha'mitzvois ha'tluyos b'chol ha'malochish la'tvo v'alechem. Which means, all the mitzvois that are associated with all the procedures that are involved in making the bread. Ki yesh eser mitzvois b'pas. Because we know that there are 10 different mitzvois that are associated with making bread. Kigoin loisachroish b'shor v'chamor. The Gemara lists them. The fact that you're not allowed to plow with an ox and a donkey together. That when you're plowing the earth to prepare it for planting, you can't, no kilayim. And then when you're planting, you're not allowed to plant different seeds together. And then harvesting and taking challah and separating the truma and meiser. And baking, not on Shabbat, but when you're allowed to, all the different laws. Just like there are 10 physical procedures that are needed to prepare bread, the Gemara says. So there's the physical and there's the Torah attached to it. And this corresponds to the Pasuk in Tehillim, which says, Hashem, your Torah is in my stomach. Man means literally in my intestines, in my kishkes, meaning that what my eating is through Torah. Every aspect of my eating, every aspect of my food preparation is connected to Torah. Upirish Rashi, Rashi says over there, Kol ma'acholi al picha, everything I eat is based on your words, Hashem. Ki ikret tikun ha'maychol ha'idea Torah kanal, because the main way that a person perfects his food is through Torah. V'alkein tzrichin lifrois ha'moitzi me'hecho dekodem mishula. And it's for this reason that the answer to the question was, where do I make a moitzi from? You make a moitzi in the place in the bread where the cooking first began. Ki ikar gmar halechem sheyir roi lachilo hu b'shas habishul v'afir she'oz nikmar beirur hatfua achinas halechem shroi l'machlodom. Because the main completion of bread is when you bake it. That's when it's coming to the end of all of those procedures. There were so many different procedures that I had to do before I got to this state. Now I finally got it as a ready-made dough. Now I put it into the oven, it comes out. Now it's bread, right? That's the grand finale. Aval achar kach, afilu kishkvar nase lechem, adayin tzrichin beirur godoil b'shasu achilo b'yatzmo. After it's been turned into bread, good, healthy, edible bread, now you still need a tremendous refinement at the time of eating. She'oz ikur habiro, which is when the most important refinement takes place. To chew the bread and to separate from it the negative part, which gets excreted from the body, and to retain the healthy good part, which gets distributed throughout the body, to the blood, to the brain, you know, etc., etc. Shebishvil ze niskashu razal moid boze mehechon letzeh prusas hamoitzi. This is why the rabbis had this difficult, perplexing question: where do you make a moitzi from? Ki hu avoida gedoila, because making a bracha on bread and eating bread is a tremendous avoida. Machmasheoz ikur shlemus habirur hoachroin, because now is when we're getting ready to make the final cut. Right? The final refinement. Lahavdol, it's like a doctor who's going to be making an operation. And the preparations for the operation, there's weeks of telling the patient what to do, what to eat, what not to eat. He's got to lose a certain amount of weight to be ready for the operation. And then the day of the operation, can't eat at all. And then that morning, they give him an enema. You know, and then, ready for the operation itself, ready for that final operation. And this is why the response was, you know where you make the moitzi from? From where the cooking and baking started. From the place where the bread first started baking in the oven, she'oz nikmar beiruroi shemibachutz, because that's when the outer birur was completed. The baking in the oven is called the birur shebechutz. That's still external. It's an external type of birur. The hainu shenas alechem gomor sheroi lachila, meaning we turn this item into a physically edible item. V'alkein bevadai bo'isoy chelik me'apas shehis chelikmor birur alechem shemibachutz. Therefore, if you want to know where to make the moitzi on, now when you're making the moitzi and you're preparing to eat this thing, now you're starting an internal refinement, a refinement that's going to take place in your body, where the different organs, all your bodily systems, which were designed by none other than Hashem, all of those bodily systems are going to process that food now and do the final refinement on it. Correct? And that's, you're starting that with the bracha, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, Hamoitzi Lechem Min Haaretz. That's when you're initiating that whole process of refinement that's going to take place internally, inside your body. You want to know where to start that from? Start it from the same place where the external refinement was finished, you know, which is where that last procedure, which was the actual baking. From wherever that started happening, that's where you start this internal refinement from. That's where you make a moitzi on. Shezehu ikur habiror. The main biror is that final one that's going to take place inside of the person. כי הבירו שבקרב אודם צריכים להסחיל ממקום שישראל גמר הבירו של הואפיה והבישל שעוז נגמר עליכם. The birro that's going to be taking place inside the person has to begin from the same place where that last procedure began from. כי מאחר ששום הקדים להסבשיל ונגמר שם תחילו הבירו שמבחוץ קודם לשאר לכם, because once you see that when you baked the bread, this piece was the piece that started, that was starting to be completed first, bevadai roi lahascha mikan ikor habiro shebifnim. It makes perfect sense that the next biro, the internal biro, should also start from the same place. Because obviously that part of the bread is the part that's ready to be refined first. Shehu achilas prusas hamoitzi, which is eating the hamoitzi. In other words, what you're going to make the moitzi on. That's the place where you want to cut the bread, you know, for making the moitzi. She'oz maschil ikar habiro ha'achron shebefnim, because that's when you're starting the internal refinement, shenasa bekerav odom, which goes on inside the person, al yidei hu achila kanal, through the eating process. Paragraph Lamed Ches, V'ikar ha-tikun hu al yidei ha-toyro kanal. And Rav Nosson Zalat said earlier that the main tikun, the main ability to correct and perfect, is dependent on the Torah. Ki kol ha-tikunim va-beirurim she-tzorech odom levarer bozeh ho-ilam she-kulam klulim u-merumozim be-birur ha-lechem va-tvua kanal kulam einom nasim kiim al yidei ha-toyro she-shom shoyresh nishmois Yisrael שמשום מגיע האורו לכל אחד בכל פעם שיושב בתשובה ויעסק בעבודתו יתברך. Listen to this. He's talking about a person accomplishing what the person has to accomplish in this world. שעידי זה מברר ומסכן בכל פעם כפי הבירו והתיקון שצורך עוז. But through the light that the Torah shines to each and every single person, every day, every moment, the person is given the knowledge and the ability to refine and perfect and complete everything he has to do based on the birur and tikkun that's required of him at that time. ועל זה מרמז גם כן מה שיש ועל השאלה מהכן כשור הסמייצי, מהכן קודם בשולה. And this is also what's hinted to in the question and answer that we discussed in the previous year. The question that was asked, where do you make a mitzi from? And the answer was, from where it started being baked. היינו שהשאלה הויסו, איך ובאיזה דרך זויכן לפרוס המייצי. The question was, how can a person be זויכה to this final step of such a long process, which is making the moitzi. Haynu eich zoichen levarer ikar habirur ho'achroin shehu b'shasu achila. How is a person zoichen to make that final, most important birur, refinement, which takes place at the time of eating? She'oz ikar hayegiyav u'avoida. That's where the greatest struggle is, and that's where the most important avoida is, in finishing the job, completion. Because even after all of this, picture this, after all of this effort, a person's gone through 20 different processes to take this grain, you know, from a point of preparing the ground to plant it, and planting and harvesting and turning it into flour and dough and baking, and now first starts a process of separating good from bad, where in this supposedly healthy bread, there's a bad portion that must be ejected from the body, otherwise chashon, the person could die or get sick from it, if the computer inside the person isn't working correctly, you know, to separate the good from the bad, and then to sort out the good, and make sure it gets, each part of the good gets to the right address. The Zohar HaKadosh says, for example, that the heart, the brain, the more advanced a part of the body is, the more a refined portion of the food has to be directed to it, it has to be given the best of the best portion of the food in order for it to function properly. Shezehu b'lahavdil. Again, just like you have in machinery sometimes, the more fine a machine is, the more you have to use a finer type of oil. And if you use regular oil that you use on standard industrial machines, if you use it on this certain precision type instrument, it'll destroy it. What do you mean? But I used oil. You're right, you used oil, but for this particular thing, it requires an incredibly refined oil. So to lahavdil in the body, this final birur, shezeh b'chinas ma shoiv ral kol adam v'al kol adoros b'chlal b'frat, and this parallels what goes through, what each and every single yid goes through in his trying to come close to Hashem, and what the Klal Yisrael is going through throughout all the generations. Whereby every single time, through every single phase and step, the Yetzer is there putting up obstacles and blockages and everything to try to stop the person from advancing step by step, completing a cycle, starting the new cycle, and its steps, you know, and going further and further. Bifrat basoif. Especially when the person is getting to an end, whether it's the end of a phase, the end of a cycle, or whether it's mamish getting to his end, to his tachlis, person's about to get to his real goal. Kisharoitza lichnois bishlemus lavoides Hashem, ki kol ze nimshach machmashetzorich kolodom levarer hatoiv meora v'kama v'kama minei birurim kimo yatvu v'alechem kanal. And all of this is because of the fact that this is what a Jew is supposed to be doing in this world. A Jew is going through different cycles of birurim of toiv v'ra, where through every stage of his life, he's required to identify that there's a mix of good and bad. He has to identify it. He has to learn what's good and what's bad, and be able to separate the two and choose the good and discard the bad, avoid the bad. V'achar kach kishekvar nishlam b'shlemus berur halechem adayin tzrichen berur ha'achroin shekoshe mikulam shu b'shas achila atzmo kanal. Just as we saw here, that after the person finished making the bread, which was so many different procedures of refinement, and the bread is fully made, now first begins that final birur, the birur of achila, which is going to be an incredibly important birur, which is the most difficult one. It's the most complex one. And just as paralleling exactly what's going on during achila is the parallel of a person's avoidas Hashem. Because when the Torah talks about a person serving Hashem, it says, L'chu lachmu balachmi. Hashem compares serving Hashem, studying Torah, to breaking bread with Hashem. Milchemes hayetzer and lechem. But that parallel. Shekol hu avoidos, she'ovidas Hashem yisborach b'Torah v'mitzvos, kulam heim bechinas birurim. Because every aspect of serving Hashem, every part of studying Torah and doing mitzvahs, is a refinement. The person's trying to refine himself, number one. That's what's really going on, number one. And number two, it's refining the world. He's involved in a process of refining the whole world, whether it's food that he's eating, whether it's people that he's interacting, his all kinds of things. V'tzorech lizboil yegiois achar yegiois. And a person has to be prepared to go through struggle after struggle. U'l'shaber menios rabois v'atzumois ma'oid. And to overcome many difficult, very difficult obstacles. Hanim shochim me habigodim hatsoyim. What's the source of these obstacles? What created these obstacles? My filthy garments, my sins. Each time a person performs a mitzvah, he dresses himself in royal garments of kedusha, garments that glow, that shine with the light of Hashem. Each time a person commits a sin, he's taking soiled, filth, mud, and putting it on his clothes. That's what he's doing, Chas v'Shalom. That's what it's called, Begod. There are many times in the Navi when Hashem tells the Jews to do tshuva, and he uses this expression, remove the filthy garments. Hosiru begodim atzoyim me'alechem. Ad sheyizke levarer hatoiv bekama birurim koroi. Where the person's going through different refinements to the point where he's zeche to refine the good through many, many steps of refinement. Aval adayin yesh b'chinas birur ho'achroin, shu b'chinas birur ho'achila. But after the person has gone through many stages of refinement, Then comes the grand finale, that final refinement, which is comparable to the eating in the stages of processing bread. She'oz tzrichim legareish velitchois haklipois vasitrachra anechozim batoy vadayim, where the person is responsible to remove and to chase away completely the sitrachra, the tumah, the sotam, the etzahara, which is still attached to the good, which is still holding on. That corresponds to the birur that's taking place during actual eating. And this was this profound question that Menashe HaMelech challenged one of the rabbis in the Gemara. He said, you're such a big shot, you're calling me your friend, you're my buddy, you don't even know anything, you don't even know where to make a moitzi from. He was telling him that there are things that even you have difficulty with. Meaning that even a person, a Jew, who's capable of making birur and making refinements, how does he make that final, most important refinement? She'oz tachlis habirur. That's the climax of refinement. And because the Yetzirah knows that, because the Yetzirah knows that this is the final blow, you can bet that he puts everything he has into it to block the person, to prevent the person from doing it. Whereby there are many people who have come to that point and given up. Because they've seen the level of obstacles, they've seen the problems, and it has appeared to them to be insurmountable. Umachmaze rabim nichshelu venoflu kishigiu somuch legmar shlemusam. And this is why we find throughout Jewish history there are many people who were climbing, rising stars in avodas Hashem, and then at one point they parachute out. They, somehow the person gets lost. That there are people who have come so close to Hashem, mamish, they've come to the doorway, they're at the entranceway, and they turn away. As is explained in chapter 48, in the second half of Likut Imran, that there are people who mamish, the person's all the way, and then the Yetzirah makes an all-out onslaught against him, and chas v'shalom, the person quits. He gives up. V'chol zeh nimshach mebechina hanal. It's all based on what we were saying here. V'al zeh hoyso hatshuva meheicho dekodim bishula. And this is the answer that was given in the Gemara. You want to know how to do that final birur? It corresponds to where the birur started from. Hainu mi mokoim shehoiso hascholas hatikun vahabiru shenikra b'shem bishul. You have to study where the last step began from. Let's say you're up to step 10 now. Go back to step 9, the step before. See where that began from. That step 9, which was called bishul, you know, which was called the baking or the cooking, that procedure right before the eating. Understand where that began from, and that'll be your answer. Kigam kol shar habeirurim vatikunim shelatvua nikroim b'shem bishul. Rav Nosson Zal says a very interesting thing here. If you look throughout the Gemara and Mishnayos, it's not just baking or cooking that's called bishul in the Torah, but ripening is also called bishul. Every step of the way is called bishul. Every step of processing something towards its completion is called bishul. Because the grain's growth, the process of grain growing and becoming ripening, is also called bishul. Kama shirogel b'divar azal likroi gidul haperos v'atvua b'shem bishul. As we find throughout the Mishnah and Gemara that our rabbis refer to that process of fruit and grains growing, they call it bishul. Kama shamru, as it says, misho shemaschilon lehizbashel bo'ilon. From when the fruit starts ripening in the tree, and it uses that word bishul. Ukiyotze bozeh harbe. There are many examples of this throughout the Gemara. Hainu sheheshivu sheikar hatikun vabirur basoif. You want to know how to give that final blow? The same way you started, the same way you first started punching, when the fight first started. It's the Torah.
the main tikkun of a Jew from step one to step 999,999 is dependent on the Torah. Every step along the way, he's got to be plugged into the Torah and receiving the new light that the Torah is beaming out to him on wherever he's on that level.
A person has to be very tough, very strong, not to let go, not to weaken in any way in his kesher to the Torah. No matter what he's going through, not to lose that connection. And even though he sees that the Yetzirah is doing everything imaginable to block him, don't let go.
Person has to start fresh. Every time he feels, every time he wakes up suddenly and says, what happened? He did it to me again. Suddenly I find myself far away from the Torah. I've become distant from the Torah, from learning, from observing. The minute he realizes that, boom, put on his sneakers and run back. Run back to the Torah, run back to making that connection.
Ki yiras Hashem tohoiro oimedes lo'ad. Because the Pasuk says that yiras Hashem is pure and it's eternal. It stands forever.
Hainu shehat Torah shenikreis yiras Hashem. The Torah, which is called yiras Hashem, tohoirohi, it is pure and oimedes lo'ad. It will stand up. Oh, it'll stand up through thick and thin. It'll help you stand up and not go down, chas v'shalom.
U'b'chol ma sho'ev rol of yuchal is gabra l'idei ha-Torah. And no matter what a person is going through, his connection to the Torah will give him the ability to overcome, to succeed.
U'kemoi she'ascholos ha-tikun hu al-idei ha-Torah. Just as the beginning of a person's tikkun is through Torah,
when the Jews came out of Mitzrayim, Mitzrayim was Erev Asoros. They were in the worst, worst tumah. They were in the worst place imaginable. How did Hashem fix them up? Through that 49-step procedure, the Sfira Soimer, leading up to Matan Torah. Matan Torah was the operation, like. The 49 days of the Yomah was preparing for the operation. Matan Torah was the operation. Hashem made an ituach on Klal Yisrael, and it says there, posko zuamoson, that the zuama, the filth, that had followed the Jews from the time of creation, from the time that Adam and Chava ate from the Eitz Hadas, at Matan Torah, posko zuamoson. What does that mean? It means Hashem sliced them open, made an operation, took out the junk, threw it out, sewed them back together, or better, now you're all healthy. So that tchilas hatikun came from the Torah. And even from when the Jews were in Mitzrayim already, the state when Moshe Rabbeinu was speaking to Paro, Hashem said to him, "Tavdun elikim esahor hazeh." Even before Moshe Rabbeinu went into Mitzrayim to get him out, Hashem said, "You know why you're going in there? This is it. You're going in there to take them out so that they're going to serve me on this mountain," referring to the Torah. That's what did it from the beginning. This is the message that's hidden in that statement in the Gemara. Where do you make a moitzi from? Where do you get to finish? Where do you get to do that final birur? The answer is from where the previous birur began. Same place. Final birur, which is obviously the most difficult one, closing the deal, that's the hardest.
Tzorich sheyeh mimkoim hascholas habishul. It's got to be from where the bishul began from. Habishul v'habiru, shezeu b'chinas mehecho dekodem bishula, dehainu mimokim shehischil habiru v'atikun, shehu al yidei ha-Torah, shekodmo lo'olam.
It's got to be from the beginning. The beginning is the Torah. Person going back to his root. They have this expression, go back to your roots. The roots of the Jewish neshamos are in the Torah. The word Yisrael is Yesh Shishim Riboy Oiseis La Torah. That our roots are in the Torah. And a person always has to go back to there to draw his Shemishom Hascholas Kol Hatikunim Umishom Gemar Kol Hatikunim Ad Hasoifu Achroim.
The Torah guarantees that Yiras Hashem, which is the Torah, it'll always be there for you. There's never a time that you have to try something, you have to switch to something else. The Torah was good for here, but now I have this time to switch to something else. Not true. From beginning to end, that's your connection. And the Torah will adjust itself to your every phase. Every phase you're going through, the Torah will give you what you need at your beginner, at your intermediate level, at your advanced level, at your very advanced level. It'll give you what you need to get through that phase of life successfully. And this is why the Likutei Moran, Rabbeinu Zal's magnum opus, begins with the words, Da ki al yidei HaTorah. Line 1 in Breslov HaChassidus, that's one of the complaints, supposedly, that the Misnagdim had to Chassidim, that they don't learn. And Rabbeinu Zal made a statement during his time. Rabbeinu Zal saw what was going on, and he saw that there were Chassidim who weren't learning. They were using their membership cards in Chassidus as an excuse not to learn, Chas V'Shalom. And at the same time, there were Misnagdim who were using their membership cards in the yeshivas as an excuse not to do mitzvahs. I'm learning, so I don't have to do the mitzvah. I don't have to serve Hashem. I'm learning. And Rabbeinu Zal said, we're going to take the best of both worlds. We're going to create something, an ideology, that's going to combine the best of both. And that's why that first line says it all. Da ki al yidei HaTorah niskablin kol hatfilos v'chol habakoshos. That you need to know that the aleph beis of being Jew, there's no such thing as Jew, and especially not Chassid, without Torah. V'lo yamoretz chassid. Impossible. At the same time, if a person makes a mistake that Torah is enough, He's dead. The Torah is poison. The Gemara says, it's a samovis. Without tefillah, Torah without tefillah, you're crazy. You get yourself killed. You're dealing with dynamite, with fire. Go ahead, play with fire without the proper protection. And the protection is tefillah. That's tefillah is a protection before Torah, after Torah, you know, all around it. You know, to see to it that the Torah should have only positive effects on me. Should be constructive, not the other way. Paragraph Lamates, V'zeh shenizborach Yosef HaTzadik, and this is why when Yaakov Avinu gave the bracha to Yosef HaTzadik, he said to him, Mevoireches Hashem Arzoi, Mimeged Shomayim Itol, Umitoim Revetzes Tochas, Umimeged Geresh Yerochim, Umeroish Harei Kedem, etc. Sheberchoi Bechol Minei Megodim. Yaakov Avinu blessed his son Yosef HaTzadik with all kinds of sweets. Megadim is a chocolate company in Eretz Yisrael, right? Because they know Megadim means sweets. Sheheim bechinas kol minei birurim shemizbarer hatoiv v'hamesikus shebamaychol. Shu bechinas meged. This is referring to that concept of refinement, drawing out the goodness, the good part, removing the bitterness, the negative, and retaining the sweet, the good, the positive. Shezeh ikra habrocha. That's the most important brocha.